feel like y'all just woke up just now singing that song. We should always do a wake-up song before the sermon. Well, friends, we are all standing in the need of prayer this morning, and you might have noticed if you're here most Sundays that we have shuffled the program a little this morning, and so our morning prayer is coming after the sermon. But there's a good reason for that. It's because today I want to preach and teach you a little bit about prayer. So I thought we'd talk about it first, and then we'd practice it together. All month we've been exploring worship with our An Hour on Sunday series, and we've talked about gathering together and reading scripture together, and soon we're going to talk about singing and preaching and all those things, but today we're talking about prayer. And I want to talk to you about prayer in a really specific way, using an image that no matter what age you are, if you're a kid, if you're all grown up, you know this image and what it looks like, and that's conversation. We've all had conversations at least once so far today, talking with someone else. And prayer, I think, is best understood as conversation. Conversation with God. Now, I will admit that I know that this is not a new insight, because I know that when I was growing up, my pastor said, and from the pulpit, prayer is a conversation. In fact, when we are crafting the title for today, Why Do We Talk With God? The title, Why Do We Talk To God? Rolls off of my tongue a lot easier. But we said, no, wait, we need to say, Why Do We Talk With God? Because prayer is not just talking to God, it's talking with God in a conversation. Prayer is a conversation, my pastor would say. Not just talking to God, talking with God. The most important part of your relationship with God. And yet I remember being a young person and being a little skeptical about how exactly that was supposed to work. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you, like me, when you were young, experienced prayer more like laying in your bed, staring at the ceiling tiles, thinking thoughts to God, trying to focus, unable to focus, wondering how God would ever talk back. And so as a young person, I thought, really? How is prayer supposed to be a conversation? Conversations go two directions, and I don't really understand how prayer is supposed to be a two-way conversation. Maybe you've been blessed to never have those doubts, in which case, hallelujah and thanks be to God for that. But if you have ever wondered how prayer is supposed to be a conversation, how God speaks to us and why we talk with God, well, then I hope this sermon can be for you. An honest approach to prayer based on our actual experiences of what conversations are like. The scripture today gives us a great model for what conversations with God look like. And you all know this story, I am sure. And it's even one of the stories from our week of vacation Bible school. It's the story of Mary and Martha. Martha and Mary. It's in the Gospel of Luke. You know this story. Mary and Martha once lived in the town of Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, with their brother Lazarus. And they were great friends with Jesus and the disciples. So much so that it seems like, especially in the Gospel of John, every time Jesus comes into town, he stops off at Mary and Martha's for a meal or to hang out with them for a while. And so this particular day, Jesus and his disciples were coming through town, and Martha and Mary opened their home to them. The scripture does not tell us how many disciples were traveling with Jesus, but I can imagine there was probably a bit of an entourage needing a meal and needing some hospitality when Jesus arrived at Mary and Martha's home. And so Mary and Martha, as they realized they were coming in, started to do everything that they could do to be hospitable. You know what this looks like at your house, right? You have to tidy things up, put all the stuff in the closet that nobody will look in while people are at your house. Lay out the dishes, prepare all the foods, get everything ready for company to come into town. And especially, it seems like Martha's the chore captain in the family because she starts doing all these preparations. Whereas Mary is like the hospitable one who will just sit with you and ask you how things are going and talk with you. And so when Jesus arrives, Mary and Martha are both doing what they think is the most hospitable thing. Martha's preparing everything in the kitchen while Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him tell stories. And eventually, Martha, who shares a piece of my own heart, got so frustrated that she came in and she said, "Lord, don't you care? You read that so well. Lord, don't you care that my sister is doing all this work? Or it's letting me do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me." Which I totally understand and empathize with. But Jesus, in this moment, in response, says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, many things here can be said about the works of service that Martha displays versus the works of worship that Mary exhibits. And many sermons have been preached, to be sure, on the need to be present before Christ, to clear the clutter out of our calendars so that we can listen to the voice of God. And those are important sermons, but they are not the sermon I'm preaching this morning, my friends. This morning, I'm talking about conversations with God, prayer as a conversation with God. And so I want to look specifically at the conversations that happen in this story, because Jesus, as God, has these conversations with his disciples, conversations that can be models for how we pray and how we talk with God. And I'd like to suggest this morning that these two sisters show us what Anne Lamott calls the three essential prayers. I wonder how many of you have heard of Anne Lamott's book, Help, Thanks, Wow. Has anybody here ever heard of that book? Help, Thanks, Wow. The author's name and book title is actually listed in your bulletin in this box with the quote of the week, if you want to look into it. But I read straight through this book once again this week as I was thinking about prayer and thinking about all that there is involved in prayer. And here's the one-sentence summary for those of you who haven't yet read this book. She says that there are three essential prayers that shape the way that we come before God. There's the prayer that says help, there's the prayer that says thank you, and then there's the prayer of awe and wonder that just stops and says, wow. And these prayers we see in this scripture today. The first prayer is pretty simple. It's our first prayer off of our lips in a time of need. It says, help, help me, God. Help my friend, God. Help my family. Help our nation. Help me to do better. Help us to do better. And if you'll forgive me putting speech bubbles on art for a moment, I want to suggest that this prayer is what Martha is saying in this moment. I know that this is not a scripture typically described as prayer, but let's face it, Martha is having a conversation with her Lord, with Jesus, and she is crying out for help. She is up to her eyeballs in dishes. She's overwhelmed. She's stressed. She's frustrated. And so she takes this to Jesus and starts a conversation, a sort of prayer of her own right there in person. Now, for those of you, how many of you empathize with Martha in this story? It's okay to admit it. I am like right there with you. For those of you who empathize with Martha, we know that Jesus does not respond the way that Martha hopes that he would respond, right? Martha hopes that Jesus would say, oh, right, Martha, you're doing so wonderfully. Here, Mary, go ahead and help her. I'll still be here. Don't worry about it. Maybe Jesus would even pitch in. But does Jesus respond in that way? No. Jesus does not respond the way that Martha desires for him to respond. But this teaches us something about prayer and the way that conversational prayer works. Think of conversations that you've had so far today, maybe with your spouse or with a friend or a brother or a sister. You only got to control your half of the conversation. Amen? I don't get to control how my spouse responds to me. Or how somebody else responds to me, or what they say back to me. All I can do is control how I come into the conversation and what I say in the conversation, and then wait to receive what the other person would say back to me. Right? That's how conversations work for you all too, right? Okay. So if we think of prayer the same way as conversation, not just as laying our needs before God and hoping for the best, then we can understand that we can only control our half of this conversation, and then we must be open to what God will say in response. And so, my friends, the good but not so great news sometimes is that God says different things. Sometimes God says, yes, absolutely, it is the joy of my heart to see you filled with joy. I will give you what you have asked for. Sometimes God says, no, that's a terrible idea. So, no. Sometimes God responds to prayers by saying, not yet. You need more time. You need to be formed more. You're not ready yet. Sometimes God says, I don't think you really understand what's going on here. We need to take some more time together. God has all sorts of different responses in prayer. God has all sorts of different ways that he responds to what we say. And this can be disappointing if you grew up, as many of us did, thinking of prayer as a sort of Santa Claus vending machine approach to God. I ask for something, I get something. But conversation doesn't work that way. And so prayer doesn't work that way. The good thing about prayer, though, is that in prayer we can bring the whole desires of our hearts before God. God's not a conversation partner that you need to edit yourself in front of. He's not somebody that you have to be totally put together before you approach. You don't have to be pretend to be less upset or less concerned than you actually are. This is why I love the quote that I shared with you all in this box this week, where Anne Lamott says, prayer is taking a chance that against all odds and past history, we don't have to get it all together before we show up. In fact, she says, the opposite may be true. We may not be able to get it together until after we show up in such miserable shape. This is why we pray for help. We come to God like Martha, our hands covered in dish soap or in diapers, stressed out by homework or by housework, frustrated by our family or our friends. We come to God like the psalmist who prays, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? We come to God and we cry out for help. And God hears our cries and responds with the tender love that only a parent can provide. Help. It's the first prayer and most familiar one on our lips. The conversation that is clearest in this scripture between Mary and between Martha and her Lord. But Mary, too, has a prayer in this scripture. She doesn't speak in this moment, but instead sits at the feet of Jesus, listening to everything that he says. And I can imagine her. Can't you picture her staring up at his face, leaning in, ready to capture anything that he says? Mary's prayer in this moment, I think, is like a breathless prayer of wonder as she says, wow. Friends, there's so much in this world that makes us cry out for help, but there's also so much in this world that can make us stop and say, wow. Sunrises and cool breezes for a perfect day of sailing. Rain when the ground was really parched. A dog or a cat who just wants to climb into your lap and snuggle with you. The joy of a grandparent talking about their grandbaby and showing you pictures. That's not even to mention the scandalous love of God that gives and forgives and keeps inviting us back time and time again, never flunking us out or getting impatient. God simply invites us to begin again and again and then loves us into wholeness. And so we join Mary in praying, wow, wow, wow. In these moments, there are no other words to pray. When was the last time you looked around at your life and thought, wow? Would you join in Mary's prayer in this moment and sit at Jesus' feet with that prayer, wow? Martha prays help and Mary prays wow. And then I want to add one more because it's not complete without saying thank you. Implicit in the whole relationship that Mary and Martha has with Jesus is this sense of gratitude and thanks. And if you've already read the book Help, Thanks, Wow, I apologize for quoting it one more time, but it's so good that I couldn't not share this with you. She talks about gratitude, this way of saying thanks, and she points out that for God, gratitude is expressed in a different way than we would express it to each other. She says this. She says, gratitude is not about waving your arms in praise on Christian TV shows. That's what we think God would want, because we would love to have a few hundred people applauding us, waving their arms like palm fronds. But instead, she says, God's idea of a good time is to see us picking up litter. God must just love to see us serving food at the soup kitchen, or hear us calling up our cousin just to check in because no one else in the family will speak to him. That's what gratitude looks like to God. I was trying to define gratitude this week. I was thinking about how do you explain what gratitude is without using the word thank you? And all that I could come up with was this, is that the feeling of gratitude is the sense of humble joy in the face of receiving goodness. That feeling of humble joy when you receive goodness, especially goodness you didn't deserve. This kind of joy can shape a heart, it can shape a whole life, and is expressed through the words thank you, but is also expressed through the heart that turns to service, especially quiet service, like calling a distant family member or caring for the people you see at worship each Sunday or picking somebody up each Sunday and bringing them to church just because they need a ride and you're able. Mary and Martha don't say it in this conversation, but thank you is behind the entire passage because the sense of gratitude, I think, is why Mary and Martha even opened their home to Jesus in the first place. They are grateful for his presence, grateful for the gifts that he brings into their lives. And so their prayer of thanks is expressed in their acts of service and their hospitality and compassion. Help us, God. Thank you for everything, God. Wow. God, you are amazing. These three prayers are why we talk with God. Apologies, requests, gratitude, and awe. This is why we pray, so that we can have real conversations with the one who always listens, who is never too busy, who is always ready to receive, and who will never leave us or forsake us. God is the best conversation partner, the deepest listener, and if we have ears to hear, the most insightful responder. I want to close with a story from a TV show I used to love named Joan of Arcadia. Do any of you, this is a really obscure show. Do any of you remember this show? It's like from 2005. It's on for 2 seasons, and then they canceled it. It was so sad. But here's the deal. If you haven't seen this show, it's all good. This show is, you know that song, What If God Was One of Us, Just a Slob Like One of Us? So this show kind of takes that thought and puts it into a TV show. It's about a teenage girl named Joan who starts meeting God in all sorts of different people in her life. So like this boy that goes to her high school, this is one of the God characters that she like runs into, or a lady in the park, or a kid at the bookstore, all different people turn up and say, well, Joan, would you do this for me? Or did you think of this before? And so she has all these different encounters with God, and God asks her to do small things that wind up affecting the people around her in all sorts of different ways. The reason why I'm explaining this premise of this really obscure show is because there's this moment in one of the episodes in the second season that has stuck with me as something important to know about prayer. And I want to share it with you. In this moment toward the end of the second season, Joan gets stuck one day doing community service because she was framed for an act of vandalism at her high school. And the God character says, don't worry, Joan, just do the community service. I know it's unfair. Stick it out. You'll see the why in the end. But it comes toward the end of the episode, and she's like, look, I've done this. It's not fair. I don't see the point. I don't understand why you want me to do this, God. I'm really frustrated. And so toward the end of the episode, the God character shows up as a garbage collector and pulls up to the community service site, and she just kind of lets him have it and gets frustrated with him and says, look, God, I've done everything you want me to do. I don't understand the point. I don't know what the point is. This doesn't make sense to me. And the God character, as he gets back into the front of the garbage truck, pauses and turns around and says to her, you know, you feel frustrated and victimized, and yet you're still talking to me. You're still talking to me. And so somewhere deep down, you know that this isn't pointless. That's the call to prayer. The call to prayer is a call to stay in the conversation with God. It's a call to stay in relationship with God, no matter what is happening. Sometimes you're going to need to ask for help. Sometimes you're going to want to say thank you or to say wow. Other times you are going to be mad or frustrated or filled with doubts or questions or irritations or all the different things that we all feel from day to day. And that is okay, and that is normal, and it is even part of Scripture in the Psalms. The most important thing about prayer that I want you to know is that you don't have to have the right words or the right emotional state before you pray. The most important thing about prayer is that you do it. The most important thing about this conversation with God is that you have the conversation with God. The most important thing about prayer is to stay in the conversation. So my hope for you this week as we go forth from this place is that no matter what your prayer is, that you stay in the conversation with God. Keep showing up because it's not pointless. God is there for you no matter what. And thanks be to God. Amen.